As we begin today, just turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We've been traveling through the Sermon on the Mount. I think the last time that I shared here was January 1st. That's a long time from now. It's about 7 months. I have the opportunity to be able to share again today. I'm grateful that I have opportunities once in a while to be able to share with you some of the things God's teaching my heart. And we're in this sermon series, and Pastor appointed me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and we're gonna unpack that today. So if you're there at Matthew 6, just like to kind of give just a little bit of an introduction. We've been on this journey in the Sermon on the Mount. And the goal of Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5 through 7 was designed to instruct his listeners on how to bring glory to God the Father through their obedience to him. So that's the goal. That would be our goal. We want to bring glory to our Savior. We want to walk in obedience to him. Before we examine verses 1 through 4, though, I'd like you to just to turn back a page. Maybe it is on a side page right beside you. And look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Use this as an introduction to 1 through 6. Jesus said to his followers, I got to get to the right page here. There we are. Okay, 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it on a under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others also, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, Jesus, these verses are an introduction to chapter 6, and you'll see how we're making that connection this morning. Jesus used light as a word picture of how his people would affect the lives of the world around them. At night, the lights of the city can be seen for miles. Jesus said that his followers are like lights also that light up a room. They are not to be hidden. The light of his disciples was to shine through the good works that they were called to do, so other people's lives would be changed and God would receive the glory, which is the goal of good works. And that, as we think about that, we think about the gift that we have because of what Christ has done in our lives. We become the light to others. We have a story to share. We have the gospel to share. We think about those opportunities that we have. We visit Matthew chapter 6, knowing what God's purpose is for us. And then standing aside and listening to some of a more difficult to hear passage of Scripture in Matthew 6 verses 1 through 4. Because when he's still teaching the crowds, he's still teaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this: beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, while these leaders love to be seen and praised for their righteousness and piety, the hidden motivation of these public acts was not the glory of God. And that's at issue here. And Jesus issues a strong warning to the crowd and to us this morning and says we need to be careful. We need to be cautious. We need to be aware. This is a strong warning. This warning, it means that to take hold of something, beware means to take hold of something and pay close attention to it. To be on guard against deception or folly. Jesus is concerned about our motives. He's concerned about my motives. He's concerned about your motives. He wants us to live lives that demonstrate a love for God's truth and to draw upon the Holy Spirit's power to live a life that is pleasing to Him. The challenge is that we should not pursue our desires to be seen and rewarded by people. We should seek humbly and obediently follow the Savior for His honor and glory alone. So we don't seek things for ourselves. We don't seek rewards for ourselves. We don't seek to be seen by others and congratulated. But it would be a desire that that Jesus would get the glory alone, that people may see our good works, but we must seek God's glory, not our own. So as our good works are demonstrated and we share good things with people around us as Christians, we must not seek our own glory. We must not seek that reciprocation. Good works and obedience to God are the privilege of all who claim Jesus as their Savior. They have eternal reward. The religious leaders in Jesus' day were seeking praise from people, not the glory of God. Praise from people is the only reward these leaders will receive. These rewards are fixed in a moment of time and can never bring any sense of satisfaction because they are like a vapor that disappears in a moment. Seeking the praise of people is addictive because it never satisfies. It only lusts for more. Now let's read again, if we haven't read it, let's read chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 again. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. We've talked about that. The result of seeking our own rewards is mean that we really don't get them. We don't have them. Because whatever rewards we get are given to us in time, and they don't last. They're not eternal. Verse 2 says this, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. So a hypocrite was originally understood as a Greek actor who wore a mask to portray a role of a character in a drama or a stage. Webster's dictionary defines this word hypocrite as a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion, a person who claims or pretends to have certain beliefs about what is right, but who behaves in a way that disagrees with those beliefs. Our understanding of how this word is used today is that of one who pretends to be something they are not. Have you ever seen anybody like that? I know I have. I know I've looked in the mirror and seen somebody like that. We all have the tendency and can fall into this trap. Jesus used the word to expose the Jewish leaders' love for the approval of the crowd in the temple courts. The applause and recognition was the motivation for their giving to the poor. It is probable that Jesus used the word trumpet as a figure of speech. Trumpets were used at the temple for calling people to worship. The entire city of Jerusalem would have been alerted. While Jesus was using exaggeration for effect, the exhibition of the wealthy religious leaders was certainly an awkward demonstration of their prideful hearts. To say that they were using a trumpet was a picture of drawing attention to themselves. Jesus knew that their motivation for giving was not to aid the poor in their needs. And with this twisted obedience to the law, by giving to the poor, they would get praise from people. The religious leaders of the day wanted recognition and praise from the crowd. Jesus' judgment on their desire was to grant them what they wanted. This is interesting. That's what the text says. Let's look at it again. Jesus says in verse 2, "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others." Last sentence. "Truly, I say, you have received your reward." They have received their reward. And so this idea was a technical expression carried with a receipt that is paid in full from a commercial transaction. So the reward that received is like a receipt for something you paid for. It was canceled and it was already paid. It had no more value than it had to be as a record of a receipt, as a receipt. The idea was that it was paid in full. But in the end, they forfeited the eternal rewards and blessings of God. Seeking men's approval forfeits God's rewards. This has been true throughout history. Notice the end of verse 2. They have received their reward. Let's look at verse 2 again. The end of it says, "Truly I say to you, they have received," past tense, "their reward." The implication is, and means to each one of us, when we receive a reward that's stamped and paid for, the receipt given, the reward is given and it's over. But that's not the kind of rewards that Jesus calls us to. The pride of seeking praise from others is never enough to satisfy us. It always demands more. It demands that we get do-overs. We want more and more and more praise. Now, Pastor gave me a book from Martin Lloyd-Jones on studies on the Sermon on the Mount. And there was a quote in there that I thought was helpful here. He writes this, "There is no reward from God for those who seek it from men." I'll repeat that. "There is no reward for God for those who seek it from men." When I read that, I realized that's me. We seek to praise. This is so common to us. It's so much a part of our lives. Open up a Facebook page, my Facebook pages, and I would have posted something. One of the first thing I do is look to see how many people pressed like. See how many people gave some kind of nice response. That's kind of an illustration of this. He goes on to say, if you are seeking a reward from men, you will get it, but that is all you will get. So when we seek praise from each other, it has its effect on us, but it's temporary and it's not eternal. I love the last two verses in this passage. because they're so helpful, because Jesus corrects the situation. He gives us opportunity to be able to say, okay, so if seeking praise from others is not what God has for us, He wants to give us eternal rewards. And he says this, but when, not if. See that in the text? But when, not if. If means, it's conditional. It means if I give, then I will get this rewards. But the scriptures and our call as Christians is not if we give, it's but when we give. It's a command from scripture. We're to give. We're to help. We're to love. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When I read this, I thought, there are certain times when I read scripture and I'm arrested by a thought. And sometimes the thought is so profound that I can't even get my head around it. And that was this, when Jesus said, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Look at your hands. How far apart are they? What's this picture? I don't understand. You're so close together. How can the left hand not know? And I found out from reading a little bit from Martin Lloyd-Jones that this is a picture of what giving in the secret is like. Verses 3 and 4 are in direct instructions of those who are listening to Jesus' sermon. Jesus' expectation is that giving to the poor is a normal and expected response for any follower of his. However, we are surprised and drawn to the instruction not to let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. So there are rewards that expire, left hand, right hand, and giving in secret. I have a printer at home that uses ink cartridges. And I like when I take a cartridge back into an office supply place, and they take it, because I usually take them in when I'm buying new cartridges, and I take it in and give it to them as I check out, and they give me a reward. They don't give me a reward then. They don't get the discount then. They give me a reward with an expiration date. Well, I don't generally go take I can't take the receipt back till I run out of ink. So I'm waiting for the ink to run out, and then lo and behold, when the ink runs out, I reach for this receipt, and guess what happened? The reward expired. This is a picture for me about how short rewards that we get from one another really are. How do we understand this? Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says something else here that's very helpful. He says this: do things as you are moved by God and led by the Holy Spirit, then forget about them. The left hand knows what the right hand's doing. It's possible for them does not know what the right hand is doing. So it's possible that it could be known. But what's the picture? Do things as you are moved by God and by the Holy Spirit, and then forget all about them. How do we forget what we've given? How do we forget what we've given to someone? Here are some helpful ideas. Tell no one else about it. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. If one of us helps somebody and we tell somebody else about it, it's letting the left hand know what the right hand is doing. It's bringing to remembrance and into mind what was done. You see, and then when we begin to let people to know what we're doing, we get pats on the back, we get praise from people. Don't tell no one else about it. Don't mention it as a prayer and praise in your small group. If we give something and help someone, move on as if it never happened. That's what Martin Lloyd-Jones is saying. He's saying when we do things, but we're moved by God and led by the Holy Spirit, then forget all about them. That we are to move on as if it never happened. Make sure that no strings are attached to this gift. Expect nothing in return. Do not expect a response of any kind. To give freely, we must free ourselves from the gift. Does that make sense? Then the left hand does not know what the right hand is doing. We've, in a sense, allowed God to reward us because we're not seeking the praise of people. And that's what that verse, these last two verses are talking about. They're talking about, but he says in verses 3 and 4, we'll read again, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So what are we saying here? We need to let our good works that we do in love to others, we need to let them die. We need to forget about them. We need to actually act like they never happened. The purpose of that is that if I give something to someone and then I expect a thank you note, that's not the left hand knowing what the right hand is doing. I'm making demands on something I gave. Does that make sense? And that's what I think that he's getting at here. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you.